Can, we'll begin with the man here and begin a couple of standards. Mitzvah says in the Torah, Lizok will have a Hatzotzos, a cold Torah Shatova Lotzibur, Shanema Lotzar, Hatzor, Eskam, Ariosim, but Hatzotzos. You know, the Sefri in the beginning of Parshas Vastanan talks about how there are different Lashana Shal Tefillah. Sefri, I think, less Asar Lashana Shal Tefillah. The Rambam, you don't have, I don't know that you have Asar Lashana Shal Tefillah in the Rambam. But in the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, when the Rambam speaks of Tefillah, it's Mitzvah says, say, Hispala B'chol Yom. And here, when the Rambam says that what accompanies, or what's expressed through what accompanies and what is expressed through the blowing of the chatzotzos, so the Rambam speaks in terms of za'oka. In an eis tzara, Rachmana Litzlan, so it's not only that there's a b-boy tefillah, but the entire tzura of tefillah is different. And let's say in English, so there are different associations you have. You know, if you say that someone is praying, if you say that someone is crying out, so there's a different, those two expressions communicate, they paint two different pictures. So the tzura, the modality of tefillah in eis tzara is one of za'oka. Mitzvah says him in a Torah, lezog ulohariyah b'chatzotzos, al kol tzara shetava la'atzibur. Meaning, even though the psukim describe the chisavol melchama ba'aretzachem al atzar atzor eschem, it describes the enemy who's persecuting you, who's looking to who poses a mortal threat. But the Rambam says it also includes natural threats. And Rachman will find the potential for natural disaster. Kegon batzores v'deve v'arbu chayotzei bohen zaku alehen v'harigu. In the Sefer Simei Tshuva, the Rambam also speaks about Tshuva and Tzo'aka. Afu bisha Tshuva and Tzo'aka yofa l'olam ba'asaros ha'yom sh'ben Rosh Hashanah v'yom kippur ha'yofa v'yosa b'medvam amurim b'yochad v'l b'tzibu kol zman shosin Tshuva v'tzo'akin b'leiv shalim. Okay, here it's Tzo'aka in Hanios, here it's Tzo'aka. I don't know if there is a difference in the Rambam between those two. This response that the Torah commands to the Tzara, of blowing the chatzotzos, which the Rambam clearly interprets as a form of tefillah. So what does the phrase Darkei Hatshuva mean? So, I mean, you have it a couple of times, and a couple of other times in the Rambam. You have it again later in Parakeh of Hilchos Tanias, I think. Yesham Yomim Hei Aleph in Hilchos Tanias. Yesham Yomim Shekol Yisrael Mis'anin Bohem Et Nei Hatzara She'iru Ubohen Kedei La'ore HaLevavos V'Lefetach Darkei Hatshuva. And the Rambam describes again the historical taniyos of Shavuos v'Tamuz, Tisha B'Av, Tzom Gedalia, Asar v'Teves. So the Rambam says it's kedei la'ore halavavos v'leftoch darkei hatshuva. Right, that same phrase of darkei hatshuva, and then the first time it appears was back in Perek Beis of Hilchos Tshuva. Halacha Dalit, Midarkei Hatshuva Lios Hashav Tzoek, Tomid Lefnei Hashem, again Tzoek, Bivchi Uvsachanunim, Ve'osa Tztoka Kifikocho, etc. But what does the phrase mean? So it sounds like here that Darkei Hatshuva means it's the pathway that leads to Tshuva. And that's right. I think in context that seems pretty clear, Kimduma, that when the Torah tells us to react by blowing chatzotzos, so then what should register upon us, the impact that mitzvah should have upon us, is that there's a metaphysical cause and effect. Whatever natural explanation is also true, but there's an ultimate metaphysical cause and effect between the tzara and averos. V'davaz amidarki ha'tshuva hu, meaning it puts the person on the path to tshuva. How so? Shebizman shetavu tzara v'yizaku aleha. V'yaviyu. Let's say, you have a door, and the doorknob falls off. So, if you're handy, so you don't scream, and you don't blow chatzotzos, the doorknob fell off, so I need to fix the doorknob. I need to fix the doorknob. So the reaction is tailored to what happened. So the doorknob was loose, okay, so I'll take my screwdriver and put the doorknob back in and tighten the screw, and I've addressed the underlying cause. So when the Torah tells us that to engage in za'oka in response to tzara, so yedu hakol shebeglal ma'aseim haroim hura lahen kakosu v'avonoseichem hitu. And it's this understanding v'zeu sheyigrom lahem l'hasir hatzara me'aleihem. Agav, there's once we sort of understand what the phrase Darkei HaTshuva means, so the Rambam in Perek Hey is telling us something extraordinary about the Taniyos. Again, Asar V'Tevis, Shavasa V'Tamuz, Tisha B'Av, and Tzom Gedalia. Yesh Sham Yomim Shekol Yisrael Mis'anin Bohem Et Nei Hatzora She'iru Bohem Kedei La'orer Halavavos V'Liftarach Darkei HaTshuva. So what it says in this Rambam is it's quite extraordinary when you think about it, Rabbi, is that it's not just that on a Yom HaTonis that day should be devoted to doing tshuva. It's that through the reflection and introspection and focus of the Yom HaTonis, a person should embark upon a path of tshuva that continues beyond the Tonis. So it's not just sort of, you know, once it's Seisa Kochavim and the Luach tells us that the Tonis is over, because the Tonis is finished in terms of abstention from food and drink. But if we were really Mekayin the Tonis on the level that it's intended, so then it continues, again, not in the form of abstention from eating and drinking, but in terms of that hopefully a person identified and took the first step on a Derech HaTshuva. Halacha Gimel. Aval lo yizaku v'lo yariv. If the reaction to the tsar hatzorer eschem is not one of za'oka, elo yomu davazem miminaga olim iralana. No, it can be explained entirely and exclusively in natural terms. There was a failure of intelligence. I don't know if that's true or not true in natural terms, but that's the type of explanation which shouldn't be seen as exclusively true. I remember when I was young, asking my father, Zichrono Livracha, about these inyanim, and at the time he explained to me as follows. This Rambam and other sources don't in any way deny that there's a natural plane on which there's cause and effect also. Again, what in terms of our current Esther, what that is, I don't know. But what the Rambam is telling us is that simultaneously, above that natural physical level on which there's a cause and effect, there's also metaphysical cause and effect. And those things happen concurrently. But And when we recognize on the natural level shortcomings and deficiencies, that they need to be acknowledged and they need to be remedied, and there's accountability on that level also, but we should never ever think that that's the exclusive level on which the cause and effect for Atzaras HaTzibur exists. There isn't the ultimate level, is the metaphysical level. That's what the Rambam is saying, that Yedu HaKol, that whatever natural physical explanation that there is, but Yedu HaKol, that on the metaphysical level, the cause and effect is Shevagal Maseim HaRoim Hura Lahem. Avalam lo yizaku halacha gimel, v'lo yaviyu, ela yomeru dava ze miminecha olam ira lanu, v'tzara zo nikra nikris. Well, it can be accounted for purely, exclusively, entirely, in natural terms. Harezo derech achzorius v'goremes lahem lihidavek b'maseim hara. Well, what's the translation of achzorius? So we translate cruelty, right? Achzorius means cruelty. And obviously on one level that is certainly a correct translation. But if that's what the word meant entirely here, so then the Rambam Mechor should have written Harezo derech achzorius shegoremes lahem lehidalek b'maseim hara. V'tosef hatzara tzara sacheres. The Rambam says that if a person attributes a tzara satzibur purely, entirely, exclusively to natural cause and effect, not recognizing the metaphysical cause and effect, it's achzarius. Why is that achzarius? It's wrong. It's a distortion. It's a misinterpretation. Why is it achzarius? Because it causes them to persist b'maseim haroim, which will then, rachmana litzlan, only mean that the tzaros will be compounded. And rachmana litzlan will intensify. So the Rambam should have said shego remes. No, you hear what I was saying? If achzarius here means cruelty, it shouldn't be vav, it should be shego remes. Elamai, what achzarius means, I think, initially, primarily, I don't know, if you have, go to Hilchos Deis for a minute, Rav Ossi. Go to Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. The Rambam's illustrating different deos. And then he, after giving several examples, the Rambam says that the last line or so of Halacha Aleph, 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 and Deos, Val drachem elu sh'or kal ha-deos, kagon maholo ve'onein, ve'kili, ve'shua, ve'achzori, ve'rachman, ve'achleva, ve'ametzdei, ve'chol kayotzei b'hen. So again, one could certainly walk away with the understanding, and it wouldn't be wrong, you know, Rachman is compassionate and Achzari is cruel. But the source of compassion is that a person is sensitive, right? The source of compassion is that when a person sees an Oni, he's sensitive, A, to the plight of the Oni, and B, to the needs of the Oni. So the core midah is sensitivity. Okay, now sensitivity in that context then will translate and express itself as rachmanus, as compassion. And parallel to that, an achzor is a person who's insensitive. He passes the ani and he's insensitive to the plight of the ani, to the needs of the ani. Okay, then memela, that insensitivity yields cruelty. But the shoresh of the midah is insensitivity. And what the Rambam is saying here is that the same way a person can be insensitive to sort of not recognizing the plight of the Ani and the needs of the Ani, a person can be insensitive to historical events as they unfold. And Harei Zu Derech Achzorius means that the person is insensitive to what's happening. He thinks what's happening can be explained in terms of geopolitics, can be explained exclusively, entirely, in terms of geopolitics. And the Rambam says, again, the indictment here is that the person is insensitive. He doesn't know what he's seeing. Because it isn't only that. And that's what the Rambam says. So the achzorius stands on its own without the consequence, without the corollary. It stands on its own. Because I'm just saying, the person is, he's insensitive and therefore clueless as to what he's really witnessing. He's not just witnessing geopolitics. Vigoremes, and that midah of insensitivity also has very terrible consequences. The fallout from that midah is terrible. But the shorish of achmonus is sensitivity, and the shorish of cruelty is insensitivity. And in that sense, you can speak of achzorius in looking at a historical event, which is playing itself out.
Avon lo yizaku lo yeriyu ala yomer rudov zemi minaga olam iralano. But Sarazol Nikra Nikres, it's happenstance. There's nothing providential about it. Harezo Derech Achzorius, the Goramislam Lihidavekim Asem Haroim, the Tosef Hatzor, Tzorosacheros. Who shakosu Bator Vahalachdim imi bekeri, Vahalachdi imachem Bahamas keri, Kloma Kishoavi Alechem Tzora, Kadesha Toshuvo. Im tomeru shehu keri osef lachem chamas also keri. So the Rambam interprets the pasuk that keri meaning lashon mikra. Right, v'halakta mimi v'keri is that you'll operate with that perspective of keri, that perspective of happenstance. Again, happenstance as opposed to providential.
The Rambam tells us here that the even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings a Torah on Knesset Yisrael, it's Kadesha Tashuva.
Toshe v'enoshadaka, v'atom eshuva v'neodom. K'sha'avi aleichem tzore, k'deisha toshuva.
The Rambam could have left it right. So avi alechem tzara. So you should realize you're being nanash, and if you want to abort that process, you should do, no, but that's the entire, that's the tzila, the telos of the tzara. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the tzara in the first place. Kesha avi alechem tzara kedei shetoshuvu. Because with the Amah Nivchar, so there is a special hashkocha, and certainly nothing happens to us nationally, nothing happens to us collectively, and what's going on now obviously is national, is collective, which isn't providential. Again, not la'afuke the natural level, not la'afuke making hishtadlos on the natural level. La'afuke, that one shouldn't think that the exclusive focus, both in terms of understanding and response, is on the natural level. No, but the natural level is also true and also exists. We're supposed to respond on that level as well. maybe whenever Rambam, even before we read it, just to give a word of Hakdama, it's not literally relevant. It's not literally relevant to anyone in this room, but there's a certain, to use it as a springboard, which perhaps is relevant. It's obviously not literally relevant to anyone. Rambam Perek Gimel Fachos Tshuva. Halacha Yud Aleph, if you have it, we'll say. Gimel Yud Aleph in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam Perek Gimel, as you recall, lists in Halacha Vav, Elo She'en Lehem Chelek Olam Haba. And one of those is those who are Porshim Midarkei Tzibur. So the Rambam says, the Rambam then, he lists them in Halacha Vav, and then he explains the terms that he used. What does it mean to be a Kofi Vatov? What does it mean to be a Min? What does it mean to be Apikoros? So now, what does it mean to be a Parish Midake Atzibah? A Parish Midake Atzibah, Afopi Shalo Ava Averos. No, it's not that he doesn't need treif. He's not Mechal Shabbos. Ela Nivdal Me'adas Yisrael. But he doesn't integrate himself within the klal. He doesn't identify with the klal. No, he's separate. Ela nivdal me'adas yisrael ve'eino osem mitzvos b'chlalon ve'lo nichnas b'tzarasan ve'lo mis'ane b'tanisan ela holech b'darko ke'echen migoye ha'oretz. In terms of his identification with the Jewish people, in that sense, he's no different than Echad Migayi Ha'aretz. Uke'ilu eino mehen rachman l'tzan, eino chelek olam haba. So again, this is not remotely relevant. But the extreme that the Rambam's describing here, and Halacha Yud Aleph just tells us how important the inyan of Nichnas B'Tzarasan is. And obviously, it's there are many dargas to it. And the reality is, I think, that maybe I'm just unfairly projecting my own inadequacies, But there is a nisayon, which, again, if I'm not projecting, it's a human weakness, but maybe I'm projecting. When we walk out into the street, so we don't hear any sirens, and we don't hear any explosions. There's no almost palpable tension in the ear. And kimedume, that it's a natural human weakness, that it's easy to get distracted and not have the degree of awareness that we're capable of. Again, obviously awareness is not all or nothing. So again, I'm not talking about this halacha being literally relevant. I don't think that's even remotely the case. But it does highlight just how important it is. What's the best way not to sort of be lulled into that Pesach Hadas? And again, kimeduma that it's a very natural and understandable susceptibility. And I suspect each person knows the answer to that for himself. I'm not sure if there's a uniform prescription. Maybe it's something that we each of us figures out for himself in terms of what works, you know, not to be distracted. And it doesn't even mean that a person, you know, abandons everything, you know, whatever his routine was prior to Shmini Atzeres. But it does mean that even when we're doing things that are routine, we shouldn't be doing them routinely. Again, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're not doing anything that we did previously. And maybe we're doing everything we did previously. But we shouldn't be doing that routinely. We need to try as much as possible, and it's an avodah. And again, everyone basher husham in terms of what the best tactic is, everyone basher husham in terms of knowing what his capacity is, and the person is not looking to overload, the person is not looking to go beyond his capacity. But each of us basher husham should be looking to remain connected, despite the fact that we're not exposed to the elements of danger that the Chayalim and the civilian population in Eretz Yisrael are. You know, it's been 50 years since anything like this happened to Klal Yisrael. Nothing like this has happened in 50 years. 50 years ago, it wasn't like this. And hopefully that it will remain that way. That I think the numbers presently are less than they ended up being 50 years ago. However, that they'll remain that way. But in some ways, I mean, there were no babies massacred in the Yom Kippur War. A lot of 18 and 19 and 20-year-old Chayalim died al Kiddush Hashem. But there weren't babies, which is not to understate the dimension of that tragedy. So I think we all need to sort of explore what works for us in terms of remaining aware and connected, and everyone knows what his capacity is, and no one should be looking to exceed that capacity. There's also no there's no kiyum in just wringing one's hands. I mean, the point is just the Rav tells a story in Isha Halacha, tells the following story about his maternal grandfather, the Rabbi Prujala, that he had a daughter. So this was before they discovered antibiotics. And before they discovered antibiotics, Chasdei Hashem is a routine infection, and you know, you call up the doctor and he writes a prescription, and you know, within 24 hours you feel better and you're going about your daily schedule. So an infection could and was often a sakanas nefashos, because they had no pushback. So he had a daughter, and this is the Rav's aunt, his mother's sister, and she was a kala, engaged to be married, and she got an infection, and within a couple of days she was a gosesses, and was on her deathbed. So the Rav describes in Isha Halacha that the doctor came in and told Aveli Pushinu that he thought that Yetzias Neshama was not that far off. So Aveli Pushinu asked, "Well, does he think it will happen in the next 5 minutes?" So the doctor said, "No, it's not that imminent." So the Rav describes that Aveli Pushinu took off his tefillin shavashi. He used to put on tefillin shavashi tamosa. His daughter was comatose at this point, so she wouldn't have been aware at what point he came into the room. So it wasn't that he could be of assistance or solace to her, because she wasn't aware of who would be in the room and not in the room. There is an inyan, if at all possible, that a person shouldn't be alone b'shas yetzias neshama. That's what it says in Sfarim, that if it's possible that someone should be there, that the neshama reacts to that someone is present at b'shas yetzias neshama. But until that moment, it didn't make a difference to her, because she wasn't aware. So Aveli Pushinu asked whether it would be in the next 5 minutes, and the doctor said no. So the Rav describes how the tremendous self-discipline, how Aveli Pushinu took off his tefillin shavashi, quickly put on his tefillin shavetam, because he knew that after yetzias neshama, he'd be an onay, and wouldn't be able to, at that point, put on the tefillin shavetam. So the yesod is that sometimes we incorrectly, inappropriately think that how can I do A when something else is happening? So if my not doing A is helpful and contributes something, so then that's a correct reaction. But if my not doing A doesn't accomplish anything, and A is something meaningful that I do, and something productive, but just neglecting it because how can I do it when this is happening? So Aveli Pushinu is not putting on tefillin shavuot on time wouldn't have done anything for his daughter. Had she been conscious, Avadi would have done something for her. So he would have put on tefillin shavuot on time. He would have run in the room to be with her. But it wouldn't have done anything for her. So we're talking about A, there should be an awareness. But again, not an awareness that should translate in, you know, I just have to sit and feel bad. The point is not that should translate negatively. It's A, that there should be an awareness, that the Eis Tzara should, we should be a part of the Eis Tzara. And B, that when there is ways to meaningfully, positively express that it should be expressed. Tshuva, tefillah. So there should be an awareness. When he put on tefillin shavuot ben atam, he certainly had that awareness. He wasn't detached. He wasn't disconnected. He had that awareness, but the awareness is not supposed to just negate. It's not just supposed to say, no, you can't, you have to be paralyzed. No, it's A, be aware, because we're supposed to be connected, because it's our tzara. And B, then whatever positive ways and meaningful and important ways there are to channel it, but it's not a veto on, I'm not going to eat lunch. Okay, so if there'll be gozer atonis, okay, that's a different story. But I'm not going to eat lunch, and as a result of that, what's that going to do? So I'll have a headache this afternoon, and I won't function well this afternoon. So what is that? That does something? That's That doesn't do anything. That doesn't do anything. I don't know that I should be indulging my favorite dessert. I don't know that it's a time to indulge, and be having a good time. It obviously isn't, but it's not supposed to translate and express itself negatively, because that's like, what does that do? There should be an awareness, because the awareness is part of netnasim mitzavasan, and then it should translate as appropriate, it should translate positively into, you know, so I need to find time to figure out what I, Ani HaKoton, contribute to the Tshuvas HaKlal. Maybe I need to slow down my davening so that, you know, I try to do my share in terms of the tzoach and belev shalem. I was told, I didn't hear this firsthand, so please verify it. I was told that Rav Schachter is encouraging people to go to the rally today at 5 o'clock. I think it's outside the UN. So it should translate positively, but it's not a veto on doing things, as illustrated by that story with the Rav Pruzhinov. Okay, we'll stop here.